Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul Douglas back with you. Jordana will be joining me and Chris Tubbs at 5:30, the last official day of Paul and Jordana. Jordana will go on. She's hanging out with Adam starting next week, 9 to noon. I hope you'll check her out. She's feeling better. I hope it's okay to mention this. She spent last night at home with her kids, with her amazing husband, Mark. Made a mad dash home. I think now she's back in Rochester. She has to be close to the Mayo Clinic, almost daily testing to make sure everything is going well. But we'll hear from Jor at 5:30. Hope you're doing okay, and thank you for weighing in. Today's momentous decision, which many saw coming from the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. And I want to get to as many of these as I can before Congressman Dean Phillips joins us in just a few minutes with his perspective. I want to talk today's ruling and also the gun reform bill. First, meaningful legislation for gun regulation, gun reform in 30 years. So there has been what I perceive to be some good news. But today's news, either you're elated or you're despondent. Not too many people in between. One of our listeners says, although abortion may not have been for me, I resent the fact that the majority of men on the Supreme Court feel it's up to them to decide what I could or couldn't do with my body. I also feel it's a slippery slope to contraception being banned, gay marriage being banned, and many more of our liberties being taken away from us, especially women. Another listener says, Paul, so many women will die from desperation for an abortion and will have an unsafe termination of a pregnancy. Paul, this is such a controversial issue. I've always believed in a woman's right to choose. What happens with her own body? Proof that this really is a man's world. When will it end? So sad. How did the Republicans, claiming to be pro-life on the abortion issue, and go let somebody into a grade school with an assault rifle and slaughter 19 children? How is that pro-life? Uy. Another listener says, the last three judges, Supreme Court judges, confirmed to the Supreme Court, lied about their position regarding Roe v. Wade. Shameful day for the women in this country. I am so deeply saddened. Welcome to the United Theocracy of America. Good luck to all of us. This will not stop here. And this seems to be a recurring theme. What the Supremes did today was divided America even more, and it will be political havoc. Jeff in St. Paul said, the press is misstating the decision by saying Roe v. Wade was a reversal of a constitutional right. The Constitution says zero about abortion. I believe Jeff is correct about that. More accurately, it was a reversal of the previous unconstitutional, abhorrent Roe v. Wade decision where the Supreme Court previously inappropriately legislated from the bench. That was from Jeff in St. Paul. Paul, this is a putrid situation. Is she talking about me or this show or I don't know.
Maybe. That's subjective. I mean, it could go either way.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the segment, really.
putrid is actually a pretty good day for me. You know,
really, that's putrid is an upgrade.
That's a step up.
Okay.
Talking about today's decision, this is a putrid situation. The same people who would not wear a mask and said, "My body, my choice," are the same people who are controlling women's bodies. Another listener, "I'm glad Roe v. Wade was overturned. I have not been able to conceive a child, so I'm heartbroken that women can end a precious life. However, I find it interesting that court justices want to protect the lives of unborn children, but are unwilling to do anything about the proliferation of guns that are killing so many people, including children. This should be a good lesson for people on both sides, Paul. When you rely on one body to implement law and impose it, all people can be overturned again and again. They're against abortions, but would shoot me dead for disagreeing with them. Humanity is going back to archaic times." DL and Coon Rapids sent that in. "I do worry about low-income women, whether white, black, Latino, Asian, who will have little or no ability to seek abortions. I want to believe that the majority of us, state and or individuals, will do what we can to help and provide services." So, look, I struggle with this. My wife had a miscarriage. She had a DNC. I'm assuming that DNCs aren't outlawed, but I don't know. And I do worry about the slippery slope. I acknowledge the sanctity of life, but I get nervous when men in robes, when justices make decisions about what people can and cannot do with their bodies. Full disclosure, I do not have a uterus. I don't know if I would feel differently if I did. Chris, I really struggle with this. And some people say, Paul wants to have it both ways. I think life, all life is precious. But I do get nervous. I mean, if the courts sent down orders what men could do with their reproductive organs, I think there would be a revolution.
Yeah. And that's the thing. This lends itself to so many hypotheticals and whataboutisms. Because when you start to go down that road, that's always part of the counter argument, right? It's like, well, what if the roles were reversed? And then it does become, well, what about A? What about B? What about C? I do find it disturbing that there are people that will fight for the rights of guns more than they would fight for the rights of children. I have a
problem. Yeah, I find that disturbing, too.
I have a problem with that. And then some of this as well, it seems hypocritical to me that when we're talking, remember the whole thing about, you know, my body, my choice, I don't want to get the vaccine. Okay, you want us to respect your decision. Why are you not respecting the decisions of women that get these abortions for non-birth control issues, whether it's a health issue? You know, there are so many reasons that women would get abortions, but yet you're going to tell them where and when they can do it, but we're going to play the other side when it comes to the vaccine. I feel like there are two conflicting messages that are coming from the same group.
There's some hypocrisy.
And
perhaps?
I didn't want to say the H word, but yeah, it seems to be prevalent. And that, again, if you believe in something, be consistent in your convictions. That's all I ask. Just be consistent in your convictions and your views. Don't change depending on which way it benefits you the most. So, I mean, I guess for me today, it's layered with so much frustration, anger, and disappointment. And to me, there are several different layers that when you break it down, it's bothersome.
I want to see what Congressman Dean Phillips has to say about today's decision. He is up next on CCO. Paul Douglas, News Talk 830 WCCO. Thanks for coming along the ride. I take nothing for granted the older I get. It's been a great 5 years. Wouldn't change a thing. Getting to hang out with Jordana. It went exactly to plan, right? I mean, we had a once-in-a-century plague. insurrections, Jordana battling leukemia. It's, you know, it's a metaphor for life, right? You play the hand you're dealt, and we've all been dealt a pretty lousy hand. Today, it is my pleasure to introduce Dean Phillips, Congressman Dean Phillips, who's joining us for a reaction on a couple of different things. Dean, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Paul, so good to be with you. And as you referenced, lots of tough times over the last couple of years, but your voice and WCCO is a bright light of consistency for all of us. So thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Your reaction to today's Supreme Court decision, did you see it coming? And what counsel would you have for women and men in Minnesota and all across the nation who might be listening right now? What would you like to say to them?
I'm sorry. It's hard to come by the right words on a day that is so horrifying for so many, for many women, for so many Americans. A majority, an overwhelming majority of Americans believe that the tenets of Roe versus Wade should be preserved. And let me start by saying that, you know, being pro-choice does not make someone pro-abortion. This is an issue of rights, of freedom, of liberty for women and for Americans. And you asked if I saw it coming. I will tell you, a few years ago, I never could have imagined. Then, of course, a few weeks ago, we all had to start imagining. Mm-hmm. And then today, despite the writing on the wall, it still came as a gut punch. Probably 150 of my colleagues and I walked across the street from the Capitol to the Supreme Court to join those who were expressing themselves. And I have to tell everybody listening that, look, I'm a man. I don't have a uterus. This is not a decision that should be made by people like me. I watched my staffers, many of them women, my own daughters, texts and messages to me of horror and dismay, and are ones that are going to leave an indelible mark on me, Paul. And I want to let everybody who's grieving grieve, but also remind everybody that I'm amongst many here in Washington and around the country that will not sit back, will not accept this, and will do everything humanly possible to make changes, to legislate changes, and from a political perspective, encourage Americans to vote for those who believe in affording freedoms and liberties to women to make their own decisions. It should not be left to men.
Dean, to that point, I mean, it seemed up until a couple of weeks ago when word leaked out and this draft of the decision came out, it seemed like the Republicans would be a shoo-in to make major gains in Congress in the fall. Do you believe that this issue, this specific issue, is going to galvanize Democrats for the midterms and even for 2024?
Well, Paul, I think it's going to galvanize Americans who believe in freedom and liberty and in a government that shouldn't impose itself on Americans' bodies, on women's bodies. This isn't about just Democrats. This is about any level-headed, decent-minded American. And by the way, you know me, I make it a point to convene and break bread and befriend my Republican colleagues. I have great admiration and friendships with many of them. On this subject, though, there's a great impasse, and we have to acknowledge that. I do think this will change the dynamics heading into November. There is an extreme element of the Republican Party that is becoming apparent. Anybody watching the January 6th hearings, anybody who paid attention today to the decision by the Supreme Court, which, by the way, just 24 hours before, made it easier to carry handguns in American cities, and 24 hours later denied women's rights. Only 14 Republicans in the entire United States House of Representatives today voted for a common sense gun safety bill that was negotiated by a senior member of the Republican Senate leadership, John Cornyn. So I'm afraid to say that there is going to be a clear choice this November, and I hope we defer to principle. Liz Cheney, someone with whom I don't vote regularly with, is a person of principle. This is not about Republicans. This is about people of principle and who believe in women's rights and a limited government when it comes to imposing on Americans' bodies. That's what this really comes down to, no matter which party you identify with.
Congressman Phillips, I appreciate your effort to reach across the aisle and find common ground and come up with solutions for all Americans. It seems like, you know, many of us go into our respective camps and we don't really want to talk and interact with anybody else, but then nothing gets done. So I appreciate what you've done during your tenure in Washington, D.C. I want to ask you this. We only have a couple of minutes left, but the January 6th hearings this week, what were the aha moments, if any, that made you do a double take as a congressman, as a citizen of the United States? What should listeners know about the evidence that was produced this week?
Yeah. Well, Paul, you know, I was in the chamber that day. I was subject to the insurrection. I attended the first evening's hearing because I wanted to learn what happened with an open mind and an open heart. And what I found most remarkable, most eye-opening of the number of hearings that have now been held is the fact that Donald Trump's inner circle is sharing the evidence, is providing the narrative, is telling the truth of what happened. The election wasn't stolen. There was a conspiracy to create an insurrection to prevent the legal counting of the ballots that day, to try to prevent the peaceful transition of power for the first time in American history. I mean, that is becoming clear. Two Republicans sitting on the commission, on the committee, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, have been extraordinary and courageous in developing this narrative and investigating it and calling on those who were party to it to share the truth. Again, this isn't about Democrats and Republicans. This could have happened by the far left just as easily as the far right, any president under any banner. The fact is, Donald Trump inspired it, enabled it, along with people with whom I work in the United States Congress, people who proactively asked for pardons because they knew if they were caught, they would be breaking the law. That is an epiphany. It is a danger. And again, no matter your politics, my friends listening today, please choose people of principle and of honor and integrity when we send them to St. Paul or to Washington, to city councils and school boards. It's not about politics. It's about principle.
Okay, I'm going to squeeze this question in. I hate being the only one who predicts the future. I'm going to ask you to predict the future. A lot of talking heads are speculating that these hearings may become the basis for a possible indictment, that DOJ taking their time, but they want to make sure all the evidence they have is present and sift through that, and basically a stamp of approval, perhaps, for lack of a better word, from Congress. Do you think there will be indictments? Do you think the former president is going to be indicted? I know that has a lot of weight, and it's unprecedented, but do you think it's going to happen?
Well, let me say this, Paul. I believe the evidence that is being presented, by the way, more is being discovered by the hour. If that builds a legitimate case where the evidence is overwhelming that the former president essentially initiated a conspiracy to prevent the peaceful transition of power, the Department of Justice has a tough decision. And I think it is fair to say, and I think most would agree, it would be very difficult for a former president of the United States to be charged criminally by the Department of Justice. But I would also argue that if, in this case, the facts are overwhelming and the evidence is clear, it is even more dangerous not to, because the objective of these hearings, the objective of my service in Congress and so many others, Democrats and a few Republicans, is to ensure this doesn't happen again. And I call on all the better angels listening to remember that democracy doesn't take care of itself. We have to take care of it. And that means preserving the institutions, the systems, the structures that have brought us to this remarkable point, and many blessings. But they're at risk if people don't start participating and, again, pursuing principle first. I think the decision will be a tough one. It will be difficult no matter which path they pursue, but we will see the end of the hearings and let the lawyers do the lawyering, as they say. Either way, we've got some tough days ahead, America and the world. And I'm proud to be a Minnesotan. I'm honored to represent the 3rd District. I see the beauty in our community of Minnesotans who are civil, honorable, decent, thoughtful Americans from whom the rest of the country can learn. When we disagree, we do it without being terribly disagreeable. And I think that's the antidote right now, Paul. And I hope Americans start tuning into We Minnesotans because there's a lot at stake. I'm confident. I'm optimistic. But we have some work to do. And I believe we'll get it done.
Congressman Dean Phillips, really appreciate you joining us on this momentous news day. Thank you for your perspective and be safe out there. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, Paul. And keep the faith, everybody.
Thank you. When we come back, the last Folker file. In fact, it's a replay of my favorite. The title is You Can Always Shoot Us After Dinner. My dad's interaction with one Russian invader who saved his life. That's next on CCO. I want to thank my dad, Folker, who's turning 92 in August. He's been sharing his stories, mainly about the end of World War II in Germany and what he had to go through. And of all the stories he shared, it's been dozens and dozens. And thank you. God bless all of you who've reached out with messages for Dad. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to him. Of all of the things he's shared, this is my favorite story. Dad, tell us about those crazy days at the end of World War II and how you almost got into big trouble.
Well, they were crazy days indeed. And today, when I turn 90, this is a good time to look back at exactly what happened. And as you said, I and my entire family probably owe their lives to the compassionate Russian. Oh, here's the story. Let's go back to May of 1945. And the Russians went through with tanks May 3. No major damage, no looting, no nothing. they went through our property, and they were the fighting troops. The Germans were pretty much in full retreat, and they went through. We were hiding out in a nearby woods. We went back and back into our house and determined, well, hey, this wasn't bad. So we thought, okay, it's over. The Russians are here, and they're pretty good guys. 2 days later, I'm out back, and a Russian soldier beckons me to come in. And I nod my head, and he then takes his pistol and aims at my head, and I start running. I found my father, I found my stepmother. There were quite a few of us, my father's daughter, my mother-in-law, and the Russian followed us. He lined up everybody literally against the barn door, and he took two young women. The first one was, let's call her Ursula. She was the daughter of my one-time father's boss, a German general. My father had been was a retired army major. So, and the other one was I think she was 25-year-old school teacher, with a gun drawn on us. He beckoned the two women to follow him. He followed them. He pointed down the village street, and there's nothing we can do. My father followed for a while. Every time the Russian saw him, he aimed his gun at him, and my father didn't want to get killed, so eventually he fell back. That was act number one. what to do now. Apparently, the Russians were not quite as nice as we had first assumed. We took refuge. We lived in a rather large manor house. We took refuge in our boat and hid the boat in a high reed grass on a lake. In northern Germany, you have very high, what they call schilf, grass where you can hide very nicely. A few hours later, Ursula came back to us, unharmed, but obviously raped. And we spent 2 nights in the boat. It was raining. It was the first week of May. Fortunately, not very cold. And at night, we made forays into our house and into some places where we had hidden food. So far, so good. At the end, the morning of the third day, there were Russian soldiers. Actually, they were Russian civilians, so they had been prisoners of war. And there were three of them. And it dawned on me later, two must have been mistreated, probably because they worked in a German factory. The one who saved our life was a very decent fellow. He must have spent time as a prisoner working for a farmer. And we found out those who were working for farmers over the years became members of the family. They learned some German, and he's the guy who saved our butt. Okay, they found us, they searched us in my father's pocket, knowing the lining of his coat. My father was a hunter. He hunted boar and elk. They find a brand new shell, unused. So they hold up the shell. Who are you? Are you a soldier? No. Father said, I'm a farmer. So it didn't go over too well. Every time they asked a question, the three of us sort of shot a volley. 1, 2, 3, boom. And we answered the questions, and we didn't feel so good. We could tell from their gestures that two who didn't speak German wanted to shoot us. The one who spoke German didn't go for it. We could tell. My father, who had gone through World War I as an officer, kept his nerves. He remained very polite. He smiled to them, and he told them, well, you can shoot us, but why not first let me get you some food? And I think the word vodka fell, which is usually a magical word for Russians. And he pointed to our in that direction of our house. We were in the middle of a park in the lake, and they had no idea who we were. So they walked us up the road, came upon our house, which was, didn't quite fit the communist image, and started to walk in. One soldier guarded us, again with guns drawing on our chest. One came out with my father's medals, all the real medals, and not the ones you wear on a dress uniform. And we thought, oh, this is bad. The one who spoke German looked at my father and grinned and said, you were a good soldier. So they understood why my father carried a shell. And he said, we shook hands. He says, in German, get the hell out of the big house or you're going to be killed here. We left on good terms. We stood in the middle of our living room and really did not know what to do. I remember that moment. We had no idea where to go, where to hide. And in walked a farmer from down the street, a very nice, loving farmer. He looked at my father and said, Major, I know what happened. You're coming to my house. Follow me now. My stepmother wanted to grab a suitcase and throw in a few things. He said, no, you're coming with me. We are going single file. We are not running single file fast to my house. All the women here will go on the in the hayloft, and then we'll see it from there. The man saved our life. His name was Passion. I will never forget him. In the hayloft, where, by the way, we boys also slept, there were already about 10 girls who had found refuge. We were hiding there for the next 6 weeks, and none of our girls were found. We were very proud. We were about two or three boys, and we protected them. And school started again in the fall, and yes, we owed our life, I owe my life, to a number of very caring Germans and one very caring Russian former prisoner of war.
Thank you, Dad. Thanks for the story.
Hey, thank you for letting me squeeze in one last Folker file. My dad's amazing. Photographic memory, he's turning 92. Why couldn't I get the photographic memory? But he, God, every time I come home, Chris, he just has hundreds of stories. They just gush out of him. Hey, we're going to continue our coverage of today's Supreme Court ruling. We have more experts, more reaction next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.